Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim with Fred Jackson and Ray Pritchard. And then with us now in studio is Steve Paisley-Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, wanted to remind everybody, today is the National Day of Prayer. So participate in your community. And if you know of an event that's taking place, I know here in Tupelo we're having a Meet at City Hall event at noon, starts at noon, so 1 hour from now, 55 minutes from now. We will be having our community National Day of Prayer service, and that's happening all across America. And the White House.
Right now in Washington. The president, of course, it's noon in Washington, and there is a ceremony right now at the Rose Garden at the White House.
So President Trump is speaking there.
Has anybody seen what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are doing for National Day of Prayer? I don't know. Maybe they're holding an event somewhere else. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was uncalled for.
Yeah. All right, Chris, Steve, what do you got? I didn't know what to say there. It was uncalled for, but it was. Anyway, go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
So yesterday at the Supreme Court, we heard arguments over a charter school case. Oklahoma wants to become the establish the country's first religious charter school. It's basically a Catholic school that has as its one of its missions to propagate the Catholic faith to its students, and so they want to become a charter school. This case, whether it's First Amendment compliant, is at the Supreme Court. Amy Coney Barrett recused herself from the case, so there's only 8 justices hearing the case. It looks like it's going to hinge on Justice Roberts, whatever Chief Justice Roberts does. They are now they're broadcasting audio from the Supreme Court cases when they hear an argument. We picked up a little bit of it. This happened yesterday, cut one.
You can't treat religious people and religious institutions and religious speech as second class in the United States.
The essence of the Establishment Clause was, we're not going to pay religious leaders to teach their religion.
So it's an interesting case because the governor of Oklahoma is all in favor of this school. And he's a Republican, the Republican Attorney General is opposed to this. There is concern that this sets a precedent. Remember, and we've talked about this before, a charter school is fully funded by public taxpayers' money. It's a public school, but it's fully funded, as I say, by the government. This is different from vouchers. This is different,
right?
All of that sort of thing.
This applied to Michigan, you could pay for a Muslim school.
That's right. That's right. So some people are a little bit concerned about that. What kind of precedent this would set?
What do you think, Steve?
Well, I think it's a valid concern. I'm a little familiar with charter schools. For those who don't know, charter schools are public schools that have their own school board. They are not don't have the same school board as the regular public schools, and they usually are
Better. They're better academically too. Well,
they target something. So you might have a STEM school, an arts charter school. And this one wants to be a Catholic charter school. The benefit of having its own board of directors is if the grades aren't up, if the school fails, the charter school closes. You can have public schools having failing grades for decades on end.
Right, what do you think about all this?
Well, it's a great question, isn't it? Do we want the government fully funding a Muslim charter school, a Hindu charter school? I suppose my best thought is, if you're going to do that, then you've got to make it religion neutral, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be that way. In Oklahoma, maybe you're going to have a lot of evangelicals because they're so evangelical charter schools because their evangelicals are so strong in Oklahoma. It's going to be different in California. in Illinois. It's certainly going to be different in Michigan. I'm for an even playing field, I think.
Yeah, I lean more toward the school choice, the vouchers, those kinds of things, where there isn't a direct funding of a Christian school. I think, and I'm just speaking out loud here, without, and I will I will confess I haven't fully thought this through, so I may change my mind tomorrow if I think about it more. But just my initial gut reaction to this is I don't want to take any government money. If I'm a church or a school, because when you start taking government money, somewhere down the road, there's going to be government strings attached that you're not going to like. And then they're going to say, wait a minute, you took our money. Now you're not conforming to our rules. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you got a friendly administration or a friendly governor, maybe that's not a problem. But once you get a hostile one in there, then you could have, or you may have rules that you don't particularly care to follow that maybe not be anti-religious. They may have to do with, I don't know, academics or something of that nature. So you need to be really careful when you start taking money from the government.
Yep.
Because strings are usually attached to that.
Yep.
Again, that's just my thoughts out loud on the issue at hand. I would like to hear more from the Supreme Court.
Well, we will. We'll get a decision. It's going to be a month or two before they release that. But if to the point, I want to emphasize the point you guys are making about schools, Muslim schools in particular. I ran across a video. This is a Muslim activist. His name is Muhammad Musri. He is with the Islamic Society of Central Florida. And he has got plans for Florida. This is cut 10.
We are buying these churches. We bought 3 churches so far, converted them to masjids, and now we have one we are buying with a school to make it, because we have to serve the same people. The people who were part of that community, one day they will be Muslims. So we'll make it into a masjid and an Islamic school for our children and their children, inshallah. 100 years ago, they invaded the Muslim world and they built missionary schools and destroyed Islamic schools and masjids. Today, we bring the favor back, turn their churches into masjids and their schools into Islamic schools, bring the light of Islam to here. We're able to buy ready to go institutions that have been there for a long time, but they emptied out. And now it is time to be filled with Muslims, with reverts, converts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Islam the victory in this country.
When he says mushka, that's mosque, his word for mosque. They're buying churches that have been kind of dead or dying out. They're buying those buildings and they're turning them into mosques. This is the feeling, this is what Muslims believe. Once they own a piece of property, it is Muslim property forever. Christians or whatever can take it back. But if they were to claim Florida or a mosque in Florida, it is going to be, according to them, Muslim for life. There's a great article from Daniel Davidson, who's an editor at The Federalist, and it's mass immigration without assimilation is a recipe for national suicide. He says, if we don't insist on the total assimilation and Americanization of our immigrants, we'll cease to be America and become something else. It's happening in Britain, where almost all of the major cities, including London, have Muslim mayors. Mm-hmm. And it's Muslim. Great Britain is on the verge of becoming something completely different than it ever was.
Yeah.
All right. Next story.
You mentioned this National Day of Prayer, and we've got some audio from Mr. Trump. And when President Trump, when Brent says it's loaded, I'd like to hear what he had to say for the National Day of Prayer. So let me put that on hold. Fred, I wanted to ask you,
what's loaded?
Well, when we put the get the sound bite is being put into the system,
And I just want to make sure people understand we're using inside.
Sorry about that.
Inside radio lingo to describe something. We're loaded means we are
when it's ready. And it's ready.
Okay. So we're going to play some remarks from President Trump.
Yes, we are.
Today.
And thank you, Chris Woodward, for grabbing this.
All right, go.
We're bringing back religion in our country, and we're bringing it back quickly and strongly. Because for America to be a great nation, we must always be one nation under God, a phrase that they would like to get rid of, the radical left. But, Ben, I don't think we're going to let them get rid of that, right?
Yeah. I guess probably talking to Ben Carson there. I would guess. He said Ben, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the White
House. We're going to bring back religion fastly and quickly. What do you say?
Be the best
religion. And we're not going to let them take in God we trust.
No.
We're not going to do that.
It'll be the best religion ever.
Anyway, well, good for him for President Trump hosting this event at the White House.
Sure.
I'm sure a lot of, I'm sure a lot of our friends are there who we know. And so President Trump has been very friendly to the Christian community, and particularly the evangelical community in America. And so we are appreciative of that. All right, next story.
This one, it pains me a little bit to talk about because I always hate it when it looks like the left has a victory, and Tesla is looking for a new CEO. Elon Musk is out at Tesla.
That happened this morning?
That happened today or late last night.
Do you know how this works? They have to vote him out as CEO?
The board,
they have a board?
Yeah, they have a board of directors that, has asked him to step down. Now, the reason is...
Wait a minute. Ask him to step down? Giving him a chance to step down without firing him?
I don't know the answer to that. I could look that up.
But you said he was out.
Yes.
So he's out means he either was fired or he withdrew. He stepped down. He's voluntarily stepped down.
Right. That's what I'm looking up.
Okay.
That's
a big deal.
Yeah.
Because that's his, right? That's his baby.
It's hard to believe that could happen, but there's been so much controversy. Mm-hmm. And wow.
Motor Trend is reporting, magazine is reporting that Tesla CEO Elon Musk has very publicly assumed the controversial role in President Trump's administration with Doge. The Wall Street Journal released a bombshell report saying that the political pushback is giving Tesla's board some reservations, and that they have begun approaching executive recruitment firms to identify potential successors to Elon Musk. So I suppose, and this is dated 2 hours ago. So yeah, out maybe premature, but he is heading to the door. Yeah. And obviously, when your brand has become as a touchstone politically as Tesla has become, this is a business move.
Well, okay, so early Thursday morning, I'm reading Yahoo Finance. Early Thursday morning, Tesla chair Robin Denholm denied a stunning report from the Wall Street Journal saying that Tesla's board of directors were looking for CEO Elon Musk's replacement.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm.
So he's not out.
No. Okay. Despite
AFR reporting, he was out.
No,
AFR. 5 minutes ago.
Steve.
Wait a minute. Is he out? Is he out?
No, he's not out. Now, Steve, it may yet happen. He may get, but he's not out as of right this minute.
No. Right.
No. So, anyway, this is what Tesla said earlier today. There was a media report erroneously claiming that Tesla's board had contacted a recruitment firms to initiate a CEO search for the company. This is absolutely false. The CEO of Tesla is Elon Musk, and the board is highly confident in his ability to continue executing on the exciting growth plan ahead. End of quote. So the
story here is that Elon Musk is firmly ensconced at the moment at Tesla.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I think he founded the company, didn't he? I mean, this is his... this is, you know,
and it would be sad if he was pushed up. Yeah. Because he's doing a good thing.
Right, right.
He's doing a good thing. And,
I know.
And it would be a victory for the left.
I know.
If that company forced
right,
him out.
Right, right,
so
right.
So I'm glad the story is false.
Yeah.
That we saw from Wall Street.
If I had the money, I'd buy a Tesla, but.
I've driven one.
Just to support him in this effort. And listen, I don't know all about Elon. I don't know a lot about Elon Musk other than what most people do. I think he's lived an immoral lifestyle for the most part, sounds like to me. I mean, a lifestyle of, that I wouldn't approve of.
Many kids, many wives.
Yeah, it's like a
yes,
harem.
Yes.
Yeah. That aside.
Many women, many wives.
Many
yes.
Women,
yeah. Women we, many and, kids. You know, we can, public policymakers, governors, mayors, presidents, we can always, you know, you can always scrutinize their private lives. And sometimes it deserves disqualification because of actions taken in their private lives. But Elon Musk is not elected by anybody. He was appointed by President Trump to do a job. His job was to find fraud, waste, and abuse in the federal government and save the American taxpayer money. And he's done an excellent job at that. Elon Musk has in the few months that he's been doing this. And all he does is find these fraud, waste, and abuse, and he reports it to the president and to the media, and then he does the same thing the next day, and he's going to stop doing that, by the way. And but because a lot of these agencies have been exposed, they're left-wing agencies that are promoting a left-wing agenda. The left-wingers hate Elon Musk for doing that because he's costing them a lot of money.
Yeah.
So how do they react? They key cars, and they try to burn down Tesla dealerships, and they, you know, try to, you know, go after Elon Musk in every way they possibly can. That's basically what's going on here.
Yes.
So, anyway, next story, Steve.
Did you guys hear about the F-18 Super Hornet that fell off the aircraft carrier in the Red Sea?
I read about that. What happened there?
$67 million. Well, apparently, the aircraft carrier was taking some evasive action from a Houthi drone in the Red Sea. Houthis are a terrorist organization that has been harassing shipping in the Red Sea.
Right.
They are funded by Iran. And Pete Hegseth, we believe because of this accident, losing this $67 million plane, has given a warning to Iran. This is what he... this is what he posted on X. We see your lethal support to the Houthis, talking to Iran. We know exactly what you're doing. You know very well what the U.S. military is capable of, and you were warned. You will pay the consequence at the time and place of our choosing.
Sounds like a line from Batman.
It could be.
That's pretty serious warning there.
What I'm not clear about, it's that story says the ship was taking evasive action. I mean, did the plane fall off, or did the pilot do a bad approach?
No, it was being towed. It was on one of the elevators, fairly close to the side.
Okay.
On Monday, a Houthi drone forced the USS Harry S. Truman aircraft to make an evasive maneuver, which some believe caused the F-18 Super Hornet and a tow tractor to fall off of the carrier into the Red Sea.
You're saying that the plane fell off and the tractor fell off also. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That must have been quite a turn when you think of an aircraft carrier.
How'd that happen?
Yeah. They don't turn on a dime.
Yeah, they can't dodge anything, can they?
Right.
I mean, That's crazy sounding. I will say this. If I lost a $76 million plane or whatever it was, I'm going down there after it. If I have to dive in myself.
That's right. Give me some rope. Give me some chain.
We ain't leaving this $67 million.
Crank up the winch, boys, because we're going to bring that
thing
gonna
back. We're going to go down.
Bring it up, dry it out, get it up there.
We need to get a country boy in here and get a winch.
That's right. get a couple of Ford pickups there.
Yeah, get a winch or two and get that plane back up because it's 60. Who's going to call the boss and tell him 60? Hey, we just...
what happened? Well, we were turning and it fell off. It fell off the aircraft carrier. That's a strange thing to happen.
That was a Tomcat? That's a...
18.
F-18.
Okay, that was 18. An F-18. That's a fighter jet, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess about all of them are on the
Super on Hornet is what it's
on an aircraft carrier.
It's named
Super Hornet.
Super
okay.
Hornet.
All right, we got a few minutes left. What do you got, Steve?
All right, yeah, you guys ever appreciate CNN when they put
I love CNN.
Scott Jennings?
I appreciate him a lot.
Have you heard Scott Jennings though defending conservative principles on
it's
CNN?
Very good. Yeah,
we love
how they continue to have him on their air is a mystery to many people. He is staunchly conservative and often makes fools of the panel that he's on. But he is now mulling a run for Senate to replace retiring Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell. He's waiting, according to Yahoo.com, for a nod from President Trump. He says, if President Trump gives me the nod, I'm running. If he doesn't, I will support whoever President Trump wants to run in Mitch McConnell's spot. But
when is Mitch McConnell's term end?
It would be at the next year.
26.
Retire next year, yeah.
26?
Next year.
Yeah.
Of course, he stepped away as Senate Majority Leader.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still a sitting United States senator.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
One of the old guard, as they say.
Yeah.
So
how old is Mitch McConnell, by the way? Does it say?
He would be in his 80s for sure.
This article does not say, but I can look it up.
I'm curious how old he is. 83.
Yeah.
I just say this.
And this goes older than that.
I know. I see Democrats and Republicans. I don't know why these congressmen and senators can't give it up. They stay way past their time. This is my opinion. Some people may disagree, but I think you get past 75. Now, President Trump ran for president at 78, but, of course, he's a freak of nature.
Right. Yes.
He's not like a normal human being.
No, he's not. No.
So,
Diet Coke and Big Macs.
Diet Coke and Big Macs. He can sleep good. I don't know when he sleeps. Trump.
He doesn't evidently.
No, he sleeps from 1 to 5. I think he may.
Maybe. Right.
But anyway, I'm just saying that these, and I know age depends on the person, you know, the ability to which it impacts them. But what it takes to be a senator and a congressman. With the grind they have in Washington D.C. of committee meetings and all the information you have to put into your brain and make decisions. I just think 75, right in there, 76, 77, you just need to say, hey, you know, I'm going to go to the house and let somebody else do it. I've been doing it long enough. But these guys and ladies, look at Dianne Feinstein. How long did she was in a wheelchair and
since she died in office.
Yeah, I mean, just. I mean,
well, Mitch McConnell was in a wheelchair last we saw him.
Yeah, I mean, I just think when you've been there 20 years or more, you just go home and enjoy the rest of your life and don't.
Who was it? Strom Thurmond that served like forever in the Senate.
They just it must be an event.
Long time.
Robert Byrd.
Well, Strom Thurmond too.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But that I guess that power that they get used to is so addictive, mm-hmm. You can't give it up. And that probably happens to humans.
Yep.
But down through history.
I think Senator Grassley. Is Senator Grassley 90s now?
Are you serious?
Oh, he's
up there.
He's the oldest. I think he's the oldest member.
Yeah.
He's older than McConnell.
But he's still very sharp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ray.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Fred.
You bet.
And Steve.
My pleasure.
I already thanked Chris, so I don't have to thank him again. Brent Creeley, our producer, and thank James Lambert for being on with us. Enjoy your day, folks, and remember to celebrate the National Day of Prayer today.